It's Wednesday, April 3rd, AD 2019. This is The Worldview in 5 minutes, written by yours truly and heard at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. As The Worldview reported last Friday, Pennsylvania Republican State Representative Stephanie Borowitz dared to pray in Jesus' name, citing her Savior 13 times.
Jesus, I thank you for this privilege, Lord, of letting me pray, God, that I, Jesus, am your ambassador here today, standing here representing you, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the great I am, the one who's coming back again, the one who came, died, and rose again on the third day.
On Monday, state Democrats branded her prayer, quote-unquote, offensive, and branded her an Islamophobe because she thanked President Trump for supporting Israel and cited 2 Chronicles 7:14 before the first Muslim woman elected to that legislature was about to be sworn in. Representative Movita Johnson-Harrell, the new Muslim Democrat, who brought 55 guests to see her take her oath of office, 32 of whom were Muslim, told the Pennsylvania Capital Star that she wasn't happy. Representative Jordan Harris, a high-ranking Democrat who called himself a devout Christian, criticized Borowitz for quote-unquote weaponizing her religion.
Today's ceremony was supposed to be about the election of Pennsylvania's first Muslim female to serve in the House of Representatives.
Do solemnly swear.
This is not a place where you should weaponize religion and try to use it to intimidate anyone. Prayer was weaponized from the speaker's dais. There's no place for that type of hate in this chamber. There's no place for that type of divisiveness. I'm a Christian, and I believe in Christ. What I believe is Christ's teaching more than anything. And his teaching would not be about and was not about dividing us as a people, but uniting us as a people.
Actually, in Luke 12, 52-53, Jesus asked, "Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be 5 in one family divided against each other, 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. With the help of the Alliance Defending Freedom, Englewood Church of the Nazarene in Florida is suing Sarasota County after government officials forced it to obtain a special application to operate a Christian school and then denied the church the permit after requiring them to spend $10,000, reports Christian Headlines. After the county denied the permit, it began fining the church $250 a day if it continued to operate. To date, the penalties have totaled $40,000. What's especially unfortunate is that the school focuses on children who have learning disabilities and come from underprivileged homes. Last Thursday, at a panel at the Heritage Foundation, a conservative think tank in Washington, D.C., medical doctors and a mom of a trans-identifying child are urging the government to shut down medical operations that are harming children, reports the Christian Post. Their efforts to resist the medicalization of gender has led them to discover that government-funded research now allows wrong sex hormones, such as testosterone, to be given to girls as young as 8. A mother of a trans-identifying child, Elaine, also spoke, imploring people to speak out against the transgender medicalization and so-called gender-affirmative therapies.
There are teenage girls undergoing radical hysterectomies in the name of gender identity. It is not acceptable for doctors to remove healthy limbs from children, so why is it acceptable for doctors to remove healthy reproductive organs from children?
The U.S. Supreme Court refused Monday to hear an appeal to dismiss Planned Parenthood's lawsuit against David DeLeiden and the Center for Medical Progress, reports LifeNews.com. The decision means Planned Parenthood may continue its legal action against DeLeiden and his undercover pro-life investigative group, which exposed the abortion chain's aborted baby body parts trade. Yet another Chick-fil-A restaurant has been blocked, this time at the Buffalo, New York airport, because it dares to affirm marriage is between one man and one woman and gives charitable donations to the Salvation Army, reports FaithWire.com. First Liberty Institute, a Christian legal rights group based in Plano, Texas, sent a letter to Secretary of Transportation Elaine Chao, urging her to investigate whether the San Antonio, Texas City Council is guilty of religious discrimination when it made a similar decision on March 21st. Pro-life pastors are being urged to hold church services in front of Planned Parenthood abortion mills as a way to engage the body of Christ in the most critical moral battle of our generation. Stay tuned for a Worldview special report immediately following the newscast. And finally, some encouraging news. Since March 6th, as a result of prayer vigils in dozens of cities where Christians peacefully pray in front of abortion mills organized by 40 Days for Life, 263 babies have been saved from abortion, reports LifeNews.com. In Syracuse, New York, for example, a young woman who had an appointment to get an abortion said that she was, quote, looking for a sign from God, end quote. After praying in front of the abortion mill with the volunteers, she chose life for her baby. And in Northeast Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 40 Days for Life participants handed pro-life literature to a couple entering Planned Parenthood. Not long after, the couple came right back out. Anita, the local leader, said, quote, "It seems as if the woman's partner was trying to convince her to go back in. However, she did not, and they continued to the bus stop," end quote. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." And that's the World View in 5 minutes. On this Wednesday, April 3rd, in the year of our Lord, 2019, subscribe by iTunes or email to our unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com or get the app through Google Play or the App Store. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. Time now for a Worldview Special Report by Emily Swanson. I'm Adam McManus. Why would it be good for more churches to hold their worship services outside of Planned Parenthood? Pastor Mike Satterfield said that this sort of church gathering unifies the body instead of dividing it over small things.
There are so many things that keep the body of Christ separated, and with good reason. You know, we disagree over some doctrinal issues within the body of Christ. We choose worship styles within the body of Christ. There are things that just keep us from being one expression of the body locally in a particular given place. And I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with that, but it becomes difficult to rally the body, the whole body of Christ, around anything because our preferences become so important. But on this issue of abortion, it is the issue of our day, and I believe that it's the issue that God is using to bring revival to the church.
He said God is stirring his people as they unify to protect innocent lives.
Not just us addressing that issue head on as the church, but as we do, he's stirring his people up and sanctifying us in a way that he hasn't before in this generation, and it's a pretty exciting move.
Pastor Satterfield said that this is a concrete way that those who are pro-life can feel empowered to fight for the unborn.
I think too many Christians have felt helpless on the issue of abortion for too long, that there's not a lot that we can do apart from writing our legislature or voting for a particular piece of legislation. Or if we really want to get our hands dirty and get in the trenches, we need to go stand outside an abortion clinic and plead with women to have their children. And there's nothing wrong with any of those things. But the piece that's been missing for many, many decades has been the church on its knees pleading with God as one for him to intervene and for him to do the things that only he can do. We've engaged in the flesh. We've engaged with the human side of this, but we've not engaged with the spiritual side of this as the church as a whole the way that we ought to have.
Would you take Pastor Satterfield's challenge to heart? Get on your knees as a family and plead that God's almighty hand would stop the wave of abortion in our land. 2 Chronicles 6:19 says, "Yet regard the prayer of your servant and his supplication, O Lord my God, and listen to the cry and the prayer which your servant is praying before you." This has been a Worldview Special Report. I'm Adam McManus.